Welcome to the first fall episode of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, where the cherry blossoms are in bloom in every season. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Cam.
And tonight, we are pleased once again to welcome cosplayer extraordinaire and master's degree holder Carol, also known as Kikiyama, for a special Ganza Goes by Proxy episode concerning the nation of Japan. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, yes. Excited to have you. And before we jump into the episode, I'll remind our listeners that they can and should check us out on iTunes, where we demand a favorable review and lots of stars. With that said, let's kick things off in traditional Nerdstravaganza style with our weekly update. Chris, why don't you go first?
Sure. Well, this week was basically geeky Christmas for me because I had two Kickstarters roll in. I got my Epic card game and I also got my Epic Tiny Galaxies board game. Testing them out, playing them. I'll probably give a review later down the line of what I think of them. But I'm having fun and it's cool to have Kickstarter. This is the way I like to think of a Kickstarter, is that, you know, you pay something in to help somebody out, and some point down the road, you'll get something cool in the mail, and that's it. I all the stress of them not meeting a deadline, seems to me to be overblown. Just, you know, things are gonna run over, and just accept it. I also saw the Muppets premiere episode this week. Did anyone else catch that?
No, how was that? I'm actually going to try to check it out on Hulu or something.
You know, it's pretty much a comedic format, so there's no major spoilers. But a lot of people are saying they feel like the Muppets are being portrayed as a little too real this time. You know, that they're instead of being just how they used to be, slightly optimistic, if just a little snarky or funny, they're like actually depressing at some point. For me, I've always thought they were kind of very cutting edge on the way they broke the fourth wall. And here they do kind of a mockumentary style, like they do for The Office and some other shows. And with them doing that mockumentary style, they don't go back to that style of breaking the fourth wall like they used to. And I think that kind of changes their base style some, if that makes any sense.
It's a different world. Yeah. It's a different world out there. It's more cynical, Chris.
It is, sadly. But it is a funny show. It is a funny show. I'm just not feeling the heart that it used to have. I might have to go see The Muppets, the movie, and get some of that heart back.
Life beats you down like it's beating down The Muppets. You might change a little bit too, Chris. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Awesome. I do mean to check that out. Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it.
Cool. Cam, what about you, man?
Oh, man, I had a bunch of stuff go on. Saturday was the premiere of the new season of Doctor Who. I had a big group of people over to watch the premiere. We played a bunch of tabletop games, had a barbecue, watched the episode. I think most of you guys know, I have a pretty large meetup and Facebook Whovian group. And, it was a lot of them, and it was a lot of the regulars from the Adventure Game Store, that, you know, play tabletop games with us that came over. I think fun was had by all. I had a great time, and, really enjoyed having everyone over. So that was fun. Unlike Chris, I did not get my Epic card game shipment from Kickstarter, and I'm pissed. I actually called, yesterday, and they said that, it would be shipped out shortly. But I'm still anxiously awaiting that. I did get my Tiny Epic Galaxies in, though, so I'm looking forward to playing that. Speaking of Kickstarter, I backed the sequel sort of expansion to the Japanese anime, which is a sort of apropos for today's topic. The Japanese anime card game, deck builder card game called Barbarossa. It's basically Allies versus Germans if the Allies and Germans were really hot anime chicks in, like, no clothes. So it's actually a really fun game mechanic-wise. It's just funny seeing, like, cute anime chicks dressed up as, like, German soldiers or English soldiers. It's funny. So the expansion to that is called El Alamein, which is on Kickstarter now. And, so I backed that and hopefully that will, come to my door, quicker than this stupid Epic card game, has been taking. I received notification that, the Nerd Extravaganza will be covering Wizard World Con, in a month or so, as press members. I got my press badge notification. So that's pretty exciting. We will be at, Wizard World Con here in Fort Lauderdale, covering, the event and, interviewing all of the, illustrious guests. So that's pretty cool. I also was tapped by Yellow, the publisher to, that sent me to Gen Con to demo their games. They tapped me to go to BGG Con out in Dallas, Texas, in November. So, look forward to doing that. That should be pretty amazing. And, I also was notified that I will be running the Doctor Who track at, Animate, which is coming up here in Miami in a few weeks. So I'm looking forward to that. And, just one quick announcement. I know all of us here are huge fans of Machikoro, the board game. The Adventure Game Store, our sponsor and benefactor, will be running a Machikoro tournament on, Thursday night, October 15th. So that gives you guys, out there a few weeks to play and practice and come to the Adventure Game Store Thursday night, October 15th, which also coincides with one of our, Nerdtravaganza sponsored podcast game nights. We'll be having a Machikoro tournament with all kinds of prizes and giveaways and good stuff. So, come out and have a good time, play some Machikoro and, win some exclusive prizes. And that about does it for my news.
That is an extensive roundup, sir. Wow.
And I want to tell you the barbecue was good.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, Chris. Thanks.
Awesome. So Kikiyama.
Yes.
Cam kind of set the bar. So you got to top that. All that stuff he's doing.
Well, Cam, while you may be at Wizard World, I will be at MizuCon. From nice. October 2nd through October 4th with the fabulous and awesome 3000 Brigade. We'll be putting on, I believe, our 10th show Saturday night, which you can only see live until, of course, we get it up on YouTube in a couple months. And I have to ask you guys, do you like explosions?
Yes.
Of course. As long as I'm not, you know, in them.
Well, there are no explosions in the show, but there is sexy dancing, skits, live stage combat, and it is a multimedia event where we use graphic design and different scenes and technology to make the show more than just a bunch of people on stage in costume having a good time. We involve the audience and make it, you know, more bang for your buck when it comes to con entertainment. So I will be there as secret characters that I cannot reveal yet. And we're hoping that we'll be able to see lots of smiling faces in our audience. We know a lot of people are going to be coming on Saturday evening just to see us. So that's awesome.
Very cool.
Totally worth the price of admission just to see you guys. As I say this from personal experience.
Yes. that's our goal. If we can at least be the value of your admission, then that's awesome.
Awesome. I'm jealous. Do we have to, could somebody with no talent join like me?
Yeah, we always need stagehands.
That might involve talent.
That's about it. That's basically been the bane of my existence for the past 2 months is, we've been in rehearsals and making the costumes for the show and whatnot. So I think I've just been living and breathing 3000 Brigade and accounting work. I think that's my life now.
One of those things sounds cool. And I'm speaking as a computer programmer, so.
I wonder.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Well, that was definitely on par, I think, with what Cam delivered. And that means it is now Brian's turn to try to live up to that.
Yeah, I'm not going to be terribly exciting this week. I was in
They called it kind of beta, but it wasn't really testing anything. You were just interacting with the game ahead of time for Star Wars Uprising. Have you guys heard about that?
I saw adverts and stuff for it at PAX. What is it exactly?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's a mobile MMO, quote unquote MMO, that they're pushing pretty hard. It looks like it's free to play, but they hit you up for a lot of money pretty often. So they're advertising it to death. And I don't know. That doesn't bother me too much. I just play, and if people are better than me, that's cool. If it's worth the $30 to them, good for them. But having a lot of fun. It's very Knights of the Old Republic-esque. So I'm having fun with that. And unfortunately, it is one of those check back in half an hour to see what your crew accomplished while you were gone games. So pretty much the only thing I've done since last Tuesday.
Kind of a moisture Farmville, you might say?
Well, they spice it up a lot more than that. Like, I have... Let me actually just check. Not that I'm doing as we speak or anything. I have a crew mission that two of my guys are out mining lightsaber crystals. Someone is actually... This is just kind of funny. There's a blockade, an Imperial blockade around this planet. So young lovers can't go on joyrides or they'll get shot down. So a couple of my mercenaries are actually running interference for teenagers in love.
That's nice.
Beating up rival gangs, stealing from rival gangs, stuff like that. It's a little bit more than just, you know, planting rutabagas.
Hey now. I hear Farmville is a lot more involved than that. But I wouldn't know from experience. That's cool. I was curious about that, Brian, and I'm glad you're having a good time with it.
Make sure you connect with me if you join. We can go on co-op missions.
Ooh. Yay.
We can help the young lovers go on joyrides together.
That, I think sounds good. I don't know.
I mean, if you want, we can go on joyrides together, but that's a little different.
I don't want to risk our friendship. Anyway, awesome. I'll commence my update in a minute if you don't have anything else.
That seriously has absorbed the majority of my waking hours, I'm afraid.
Okay. Hang on. I'm doing my Fallout Shelter stuff right now. Just a minute.
I know that.
Yeah, you know, I haven't mentioned that, speaking of my update, in a few weeks. I've been playing Fallout Shelter, and I think I mentioned that's what got me into the Fallout universe in earnest. And so in addition to being sucked into Fallout Shelter and Kikam, /Carol, I am glad that you are a fellow sufferer, by the way.
Speaking of things consuming our lives.
Yes, yes. It never fails that I figure I'll get a little playtime in, and then, like, Deathclaws show up. Like, oh, I have something else to do, but I gotta take care of these Deathclaws. Oh, well. So anyway, that has pulled me into the Fallout universe. I mentioned last week that I beat the first Fallout game. I have started Fallout 2 on the PC, the classic 1998 hit, and am hoping to get through that in a reasonable amount of time. Then it's on to 3, then it's on to New Vegas, then it's on to 4, and I'm totally caught up with Fallout, and I'll feel like a complete human being.
Did you pre-order the Pip-Boy and everything?
I sure did.
Yes, we will be the coolest kids in school.
We will be kids in school. The jury won't even convene as to whether or not we'll be cool, I guess. But no, we'll be cool, right? The Pip-Boy.
Way cool.
Okay, all right, thank you. Thank you, finally some validation. Ken, did you get your Pip-Boy ever, or what?
Oh, just salt in the wounds, man, salt in
the
wounds.
Oh, no!
Oh, gee whiz! Oh, man. Well, you can hang out with us, I guess. You can pledge our cool kid frat.
I'm a cosplayer. I could probably make you one out of hot glue and cardboard.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'll get a custom-made one.
Boom.
That's a little too much like high school for me, trying to hang out with the cool kids wearing the off-brand merchandise.
I'm cool. Really? See?
It's a Louis Vuitton.
I'll just be over here at the other table. Never mind.
Let's see. Apart from that, I beat Batman Arkham City with the 2011 hit. I'm really almost up to present day with my gaming. I'm getting through that backlog. And I'm going to move on to Arkham Origins and then Arkham Knight, which is actually a current gen title. I will be playing on current generation consoles before you know it.
Sweet.
Yeah. And let's see. In addition, I know there's something I'm missing, but I'm already lined up for PAX South with my tickets for that and my Emerald City Comic Con tickets for next year up here in Seattle. So I really commit early to these things, it occurs to me. But that's pretty much it. Just doing some gaming and living life. And I totally failed to live up to the standards set by, well, pretty much everybody else during this round of updates. I am sorry about that. I am a failure. Let's just move on to news. Because I'm sad. And I believe that brings it around to you again, Chris. What you got for news?
So my news starts off with two Kickstarter bits. The first one is that Kickstarter itself has changed its corporate standing. It is now what's called a benefit corporation, which still means it's a company, but now it has to hold itself to a higher stated standard of behavior. So instead of just, oh, being a corporate citizen is good PR, they literally have, here is what we must do in addition to making money.
That's awesome.
In addition to that, they are also, as part of that charter, they are giving 5% of their after-tax profits to art programs or some sort of support of the arts.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So, Google, come on, man. Do no evil. Time to, you know, put your money where your mouth is, right? They should look into this. Only a few states evidently have started up this concept of a benefit corporation, but we'll see where it goes. I think Kickstarter is probably one of the bigger companies to actually do that, that people will notice and start asking questions about.
That is really encouraging, man. That is awesome. And I've read about the benefit corporation as an entity. I don't even know why. And it seemed intriguing.
It does.
That's really cool.
Okay. You know, so from the high to definitely a different state of mind, I saw an interesting Kickstarter called Slash. And it's about independent film. And the independent film is delving into kind of a coming-of-age story with a kid who's using fanfic or fan fiction, or to be more specific, Slash fan fiction as his way of figuring things out. And they've done all the mundane stuff in the story, all of the modern-day story of the kid. But now they want to take the fantastical scenes he's writing about his favorite comic book characters and such in their Slash fiction and use Kickstarter funds to make them as actual full-blown CGI sex scenes. Exactly.
I mean, we could be saving Neil Armstrong's suit for all the prosperity, but let's just make anime sex scenes instead. 5% to art, 95% to animated sex scenes.
Good point, Brian. Oh, our priorities seem to be all over the right place. Wow.
So I thought those two bits balanced each other out.
Yeah. Feel good, feel like shit. Thanks, man.
Hey, what can I say? Balanced reporting. We've been missing it. Bring it back. So, and then in another bit, the Batmobile has now been declared actual copyright for DC Comics.
Mm.
Evidently, there has been a market for people wanting to buy the Batmobile. And for those who don't know South Florida, especially the town Hollywood in general, there's a guy who owns a place called Waffle Works, I believe. And his shtick is when you go into his place, there's all of these model cars he has for for art. Basically, they're his collection, and the restaurant is a way for him to show off his collection. But every Halloween, he usually brings his personal Batmobile he has and has somebody dress up as Batman for photos and just for general goofiness. I don't know how he's going to fit into this picture, but there's been a company that has said, hey, the original Batmobile is a modified automobile, so then it's not copyright. So they have been making money taking and making Batmobiles for people. DC has finally said you can't do that, and the federal courts have backed them up and said, no, you can't. And so now DC is not only asking for him to stop and to destroy whatever Batmobile projects he's working on, they are looking for something around the area of over $700,000 in damages for each car. I'm like, I can't even fathom. This is obviously for damages. This is more like punishment. This is a guy, he can't be more than a small business owner, right? So it seems a little excessive to me. So I can get that, you know, they got their copyright protected, but geez Louise, that much per car? It's not like they thought they were losing a deal with Hyundai to build Batmobiles.
What was the dollar figure? 70, 100 might be some old timey way of saying it that I don't understand. How much money?
Six figures with a 7 in the front.
Okay. 700,000. Okay. Wow.
700,000.
Anyway, that's a lot of money.
I feel like that sets a very dangerous precedence for cosplay.
Yeah.
If the image of their car can't be reproduced, how long before they're applying that pressure to the image of their actual characters?
It depends on if the cosplayer is making an obscene amount of money from it. I mean, if they were to start cracking down on that, the biggest Batman cosplayers that are around are the ones that go to children's hospitals. So it's almost like the cosplayers, the majority of them that would be possibly making money off of it are also basically walking advertisements.
Yeah, I don't really know if the guy making Batmobiles is making a crap ton of money, though. I mean, those are kind of advertisements too, aren't they?
I suppose so, but I mean, what was he selling them for? Is it like what's the profit margin on a Batmobile maker?
Yeah.
Compared to a cosplayer that might sell prints or get appearance fees. And then again, most cosplayers, they are famous for more than one costume necessarily. So you'd have to sue them and then attribute, a percentage of your income from your cosplaying is directly influenced by your Batman costume. And we can know this specifically from doing such and such weird financial math that is going to end up ruining you. So, I mean, it is possible. There has been some things going on in the fan art industry. Funimation recently has been cracking down on fan art and people selling reproductions of their characters as fan art and making money off of it. And that's been a thing in the con scene now. I know I work for Chibipaw, a local con down here. And so we've been having discussions about how that might affect our artist alley and protecting our artists that work with us. So
Cam, of course, with your usual disclaimer of this is in no way legal advice or a valid viewpoint, does it come down to the company, as Carol was sort of implying here, and I'm sure you'll second, it comes down to what the company perceives as the level of harm and whether or not it's worth pursuing them, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's only two reasons to pursue one of those kind of cases if you're a big company. One, because you actually are really losing a lot of money. Which in the case of like, you know, cosplayers and, you know, small time people, it's, you don't, you know, I mean, the, you know, couple hundred or couple thousand dollars they're making on selling, you know, prints here and there at cons or whatever they're doing has no effect whatsoever on the larger, like on a Marvel or something like that. You know what I mean? But, if they were on a larger scale and mass producing things, then of course, you know, that, it does have a monetary effect and they would want to step in and stop that. The reason they would go after smaller mom and pop operations or little people, you know, just the independent people at cons would be to set a precedent so that, you know, it's like Metallica when like the whole Napster thing happened. Like, you know, they wanted to step in and stop, you know, people from downloading music. Same thing in that situation. If you've got a company that's super aggressive with their IP and they don't want anyone anywhere using it or, you know, doing anything with it, then they'll spend the money to make an example. Even though they're not going to get any money back from that, the exercise is just to, you know, put it out there that, hey, if you steal our stuff, if you appropriate our stuff, this is what's going to happen to you. And that does have an effect. I mean, people, the last SuperCon, I saw representatives from different companies walking around into the artist alley and saying, hey, those earrings you made with a picture of, you know, whatever, I don't even remember what the company was, but it, you know, that's our IP. We own that. And so you can't sell that because that's not a licensed product. And they had the con people making them like put that stuff away and not sell it.
Wow.
So it is happening.
So even cute little Chibi Paw, a favorite South Florida con, might have to Carol's point, you know, kind of watch it a little bit, be a little bit cautious.
Yeah, we're watching it closely and what's going on there, because I mean, we don't want anybody having problems. Like, you know, God forbid we have, you know, we bring in a guest artist for their fantastic Adventure Time art, and like 90% of what they sell is Adventure Time related, and then somehow some Cartoon Network executive comes in and goes, no, you can't sell that. Then they're screwed. Like, they paid for a table and now they're not going to make their money or something, you know, like,
yeah.
we don't want that happening. That would be terrible.
Hit the, hit the Cartoon Network executive with one of those paddles. Yowie paddle. I can never pronounce that word. The paddles that the kids hit each other with, you know, the kids, yeah, and their paddles.
I believe those are banned from Chibi now.
Oh, damn.
And most anime cons, because people just got out of hand with it and then would just start hitting not their friends, but strangers. And then it becomes an issue of, what's it called?
Assault,
yeah, that word. Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe battery. I don't know. But yeah, a lot of those items have been not seen at cons for a while.
All right. Well, then give the exec free hugs. I don't know what else to say. I have
no... We'll just give him a lot of booze, maybe.
Maybe that too, yeah.
You need to relax, Mr. Executive. Come over here to the bar.
Yeah, why so?
The hugs start off free.
And just a heads up, by the way, evidently this garage was selling their Batmobiles at $90,000 a pop.
Wow.
That's not chump change.
It's not, but still, I mean, considering what they want for damages, that's like how many of those cars?
Depends on the profit on them. But yeah, let's say he made 70 on each one. That's 10 cars worth of profits.
I'm just imagine. Going by the retail price, never mind his personal profit, which of course wasn't as much, but still. Yeah.
I was being optimistic.
Yeah. We have no idea what the materials he used and, you know, what stereo did he put in it? Like, all that is questionable. It could be freaking gutted on the inside, or it could be freaking Mercedes for all we know.
Exactly.
The Nerd Extravaganza Flying Squirrel Scooter is safe, so let's not worry about that. That's our own IP.
Until we see it on somebody's earrings, then we gotta crack down.
Yep.
Original concept, do not steal.
That's right.
Awesome. Chris, anything else?
No, I think I've done enough damage already.
All right. You sort of dropped some news on us. Carol, do you want to, with 3000 Brigade's upcoming production, do you have anything else you want to share before I toss it over to Cam?
Sure. Basically, I'll bring it up again. Big news, the 3000 Brigade is putting on their 10th show. It's going to be at MizuCon, October 3rd, Saturday night, Miami Airport Convention Center. You won't want to miss it. It is a cosplay variety show that has comedy, live combat, dancing, multimedia usage, and Nintendo characters, just video game characters. Hopefully, the cosplay, you know, and copyright laws won't be affecting us anytime soon. With as much as we have been using Nintendo characters for the years that we have and logos and whatnot, we should be all right. We do have lawyers on our side, so I think that they'll keep us taken care of. But if you want to see your favorite video game characters, we've had anime characters in the past, then you got to come check out the 3000 Brigade. If you want to catch up on all of our past shows, you can find them on youtube.com/3000Brigade. And you can also get updates on us at facebook.com/3000Brigade. As well as 3000Brigade.com has our podcast and other information you might fancy to take a look at. So hopefully we'll see you there at MizuCon Saturday night, October 3rd. In other news, one thing that I noticed today that might not sound important to anybody else, that there are now League of Legends stickers on Facebook. I thought you all should know if you haven't seen them yet.
I have not.
My favorite one is Leona eating popcorn. It's awesome. It looks just like the Michael Jackson meme of I just came here to read the comments eating popcorn.
Yeah,
that's but
the
it's
thriller, right?
It's Leona and it makes me very happy. So there is a lack of a Janna sticker for any Janna fans out there, such as myself, but I'll take what I can get. So just so you guys know and the rest of the world.
Well, the rest of, like, 10 subscribers.
Shh, the world. Shh, don't say that. Don't undersell yourself.
Yeah, man, we have at least 20 subscribers. Where you been?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for the news update. And all of our listeners are required to attend MizuCon and see the 3000 Brigade perform, we will remind you. Except for Cam, he's excused on a press pass.
Well, I mean, if Cam wants to come, you know, you go to Wizard World during the day, you come see the show at night, and then you go back to Wizard World on Sunday, I'm cool with that. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't hurt me.
Sounds like a plan.
I mean, if you go to MizuCon and say, hey, I'm just here for the 3KB show, then
They'll be like, great.
Yeah. Good thing we booked those guys. Cause, Wizard World on the same weekend's gonna be, an issue.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that when we, we're almost spoiled for choice down in South Florida now. We've got so many conventions and, cool events going on. Like, I don't know if the calendar has room for them all or.
No, it's tough. Like, we have, I don't know. Like I'm on top of it with ChibiPaw because we're always trying to watch our dates and make sure we don't conflict with anybody else, and then that nobody announces down the line that they're going to be conflicting with us. Because I mean, people are going to choose one or the other, and then both conventions make less money in the end because some are going to choose one or the other. So that stinks. I mean, MegaCon just announced their Fan Days, a 2-day event they're going to be doing in November. Luckily, it's the weekend after ChibiPaw, so we're safe. But that just came out of nowhere, and a lot of people are already, like, planning on going and checking it out, so.
Wow. As a fan, it's cool. As an organizer, I think it would be giving me migraines, so I'm glad I'm not an organizer.
I'll point out, as a fan with a well-paying full-time job, it's cool. I don't think it's good for, like, the core fan.
The person who has to decide, like, what to do with their savings a couple times a year, you mean, Brian, essentially?
Yeah.
Maybe it's too much, yeah. Well, nevertheless, thanks for the news. And speaking of Cam, who we indicated will have a pass, it's his turn to report on some news.
I get no pass on the news.
Nope.
I have a few items. I'll keep it short. New York Comic Con's coming up. The organizers, of that, convention have put together what they're calling New York Super Week. And the coolest thing that I saw, or the coolest event that I saw that they're putting together for that is, You guys remember the movie Blade, I'm sure, and the Marvel comic book character Blade, and, you know, the movie adaptation by my favorite tax cheat, Wesley Snipes,
yes,
as Blade. Yeah, the very first Blade, there is a scene in the where basically guy walks into a club and or gets lured into a club. I don't remember exactly, but then there's this, like, it's all like, you know, hot vampires, and then there's like just this blood rain in the club. You guys remember that scene?
I definitely do. Yes.
Well, they're going to be recreating that scene at an event leading up to New York Comic Con. So you can go and party and dance and then get sprayed with a bunch of fake blood. I think that's pretty funny.
Cool.
Let's see. Sharp has announced that they're going to start selling 8K TVs next year.
Oh.
Which fucking pisses me off because I just bought a 4K TV.
Ha! You're behind the times!
I know.
They don't call it bleeding edge for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Apple was recently hit by many, many different apps that were infected with malicious malware. It had done a pretty good job up to this point shielding the App Store from apps that were corrupted. I think only, like, up until recently, only like 4 or 5 had ever gotten through or been approved. But they just had to remove like almost 350 from the App Store. So you might want to check the list and see if you have one of those on your phone. Let's see. I'm going to keep it short this week. I only have, I have two more stories. One, two lesser known characters, from the DC universe, Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, are rumored to have a buddy cop action comedy flick coming up.
What?
Yeah.
Cool.
So they're looking to, I think DC's looking to do like a, you know, more comedic route sort of. I think they saw the success of Guardians of the Galaxy and I think they're trying to do something similar to that. And my last bit of news is good news for anyone that's going to be visiting China anytime soon.
Me, yeah.
Awesome. So, no. Well, as long as you're willing to make a 17 milliliter sperm donation, you can get a free iPhone 6S. So,
like an actual one or one of those knockoffs? Cause I've fallen for this before.
No, I think it is an actual iPhone 6S. Although it is the rose gold edition, which I didn't know there was a rose gold edition. so it might be a, quote unquote Chinese exclusive version, but, either way. You can get one for the low price of 17 milliliters of your own sperm.
Wow.
And that does it for my news.
Why? Why do they need your sperm?
The Chinese are going to start making knockoffs of people.
Yeah, right. For their new cloning program.
Wow. Those vampires were hot. I don't know why anybody needs an AK TV. I'm not going to say anything else about the sperm donation program.
Well, here's the thing about the TV. I mean, I can barely find 4K, you know, quality broadcasting. Pretty much 1080p is everywhere, but, like, there are very few channels that broadcast in 4K. So, I mean, by the time the 8K comes out, I mean, I doubt there, you know, 4K is going to be as ubiquitous as 1080p is now. So, I mean, it's just like you're buying something that's not even going to be utilized for 3-4 years down the road.
These are basically milliliter boosters, if you will, for tech junkies.
Yeah.
If I can, if that made any sense in the context of your other news bit.
But then again, I own a LaserDisc player, so.
True. True, Brian, you do. Also, Booster Gold's funny. And,
yeah.
I think that brings it around to you, Brian, for news.
I don't have much exciting news. I'm kind of hesitant to even mention this one. I'm really not sure how to frame it without editorializing just a bit. But apparently, people are talking about it today. DC Comics has encouraged its editors to hire alternative talent,
like jugglers and lion tamers and stuff, or
as in no more white artists. They've been encouraged to decrease the projects that, like, white artists get in order for to encourage
so
diversity.
Basically affirmative action.
Kind of,
but
yes.
But to a degree that it's 100% affirmative action.
They're upping their quotas. Which I feel diversity is a strength, but I'm not sure I like being told to exclude anyone because I don't really see how that's different than what people object to.
That's seems like kind of a ham-fisted way to achieve diversity, doesn't it?
I mean, if they're really worried about bias but want the best people, then shouldn't they just conduct faceless interviews and portfolio reviews and things like that?
Yes.
Maybe? Because, I mean, that would stink for, you know, the white, star-eyed, you know, wannabe working for DC, gets an interview, walks in the door, and they're going to totally...
Positions filled.
Yeah, they're going to get turned away immediately.
I mean, a lot of people think that it's just, you know, that person's turn, but... You know, as a fan, I want good books. I don't really care.
I'm going to defer to ethnic matters expert and consultant Cam.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of shit pisses me off. I mean, I am a minority, and I think that the job should go to the best and most qualified person, regardless of gender, race, sexual orientation, whatever, you know. If someone is better at the job than I am, and they happen to be white, I'm not going to play the race card just so I can get the job. You know, I mean, I think that insults me more than, you know what I mean? I'd be more insulted if I got the job based on that than if someone were to just be like, oh, you know, we only hire white people.
Now that Cam said it, I can agree.
I am really surprised, and this is probably my own naivete. Cam, I don't even know what the fuck you are, quite honestly. Like, it just doesn't matter to me. Like,
Cam, are you a mutt?
I am a mutt, yes. I am very much a mutt.
Well, most Americans are, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit of a mutt myself. I don't understand why any people, feel the need to subclass like that. It's really...
You would never know, but I'm Native American. But as far as I look in a picture, I'm a Germanic, white, Caucasian female. So, but I have the one thing I have from my line is my nose. I have the hook in it. You can't really see it because I got a smaller nose. But most of our family members all have this hook in our nose that's really useful if you wear glasses. So...
You need to get some of that casino money.
Yeah,
right.
That'll fund your next Japan trip.
If only.
I think, especially when it comes to artistic endeavors, sometimes it seems like it's so much of a dice roll whether you get a gig or not that these things just increase the frustration, regardless of who you are.
I don't understand why they can't just have a committee of people looking for the product, you know, hey, this is the look we want. We chose this person's art based on the way it looks. Then when you bring the person in and you don't hire them, you've got kind of a paper trail. Like, why was everything okay until you saw the person? Mm-hmm. You know, you could definitely document your way out of discrimination, I think, especially in a visual medium like that. But
well, especially if maybe you have a panel of interviewers. And I mean, there's so many ways to go about the interview and hiring process to sort of get rid of any possibility of like a single person that ends up being an a-hole that's going to discriminate and say, no, not this guy, this one, you know?
Yeah, I would think so. Well, I think we've come up with a solution. And DC should listen to us. We will accept our consulting fee after this episode airs.
Yeah.
And, Brian, any other news or?
No, the teenagers went quite well on their date. They returned safely.
Well done. My vault is secure. And Cam did a pretty great segue there in mentioning Japan, which gets us to the meat and taters of tonight's episode. Or I guess, oh God, this is going to be racist. Is rice and fish okay? Can I say that? Do they eat that in Japan or is that just a stereotype?
They eat that.
The tourists eat that, so.
Okay.
That's more
I ate it, but yeah, I was a tourist, so.
Well, I think they eat that pretty much everywhere, so you're good.
Even right, for breakfast, there was fish and rice for breakfast.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, actually.
I loved it.
Well, speaking of breakfast, speaking of fish and rice, and speaking of Japan, we were going to dig more into the topic of, you know, ownership rights over IP in light of that Batmobile stuff and some other things in the news, but when we started talking to you, Kikiyama, Carol, prior to the show, you started telling us about your Japan trip, and we decided to switch gears and have you tell us about it. Tell us about it and give us sort of a geek's guide to Japan, if you like.
I will do my best.
Great.
Feel free to interrupt me with any questions whatsoever.
Can I come next time? That's my first question.
Yes, but you'll have to pay your own way.
That was my second question. Damn.
All right, so you want to go to Japan.
Yes.
First, you have to decide if you're actually going to go to Japan, because everybody wants to go to Japan, but then you never act upon it because of many, many reasons. So I decided, after a bunch of my friends went, last year, bunch of my friends went, they're posting all over Facebook, and, I had wished that I had known about it because I would have loved to have tagged along and saved up money, but by the time they were going, they like booked everything like a month in advance or something crazy, so there was no way I could go. I was still in school at the time and working, so even if I could get the time off of my job, I would have missed way too much of school. Big mess. If you're in grad school, your soul is gone. So nothing else exists. This year, after I pestered them and was like, oh, I wish I had known, they're like, oh, well, we're going to go again next year if you want to tag along. So having that known, I saved up the entire year. It was going to be right after I graduated. So it was a perfect way to just save and have the excuse that I was going to treat this to myself as my gift to myself for finishing grad school. So with that, the first thing you need to do is a lot of research to try to save money on tickets. Luckily, we had our friends, they go almost every year in the spring because that's when a lot of specials are going on. So you can get your plane tickets and your hotel for half the price as where you would at other times in the year. And funny enough, it's during cherry blossom season, which should be, I imagine, a peak season for tourism. But in fact, it's where you can get some of the cheapest tickets. So you book in around February, and then you go out at the end of March, mid-April. That's your time frame. So you don't really have your official dates until that time frame. So luckily, my job worked with me with figuring out what window that I was allowed to go. So, I don't know where to start on the actual trip. I guess, preemptive, pre-Japan. What are you gonna do? A lot of people are like, oh shoot, I need to learn Japanese. No, you'll be fine. You'll be just fine if you don't know any Japanese. If you don't know a lick of it, you can get around. Specifically and foremost in Tokyo, which is where, as nerds that we are, we're going to spend a lot of time in Tokyo. Akihabara is there. There's food for miles. There's so much to do. Almost everywhere you go to eat, food has pictures. And so you can do the entirely I'm a foreigner thing and point to the picture and smile and bow, and you have ordered food. So it makes it very easy. The only Japanese words that I knew were basically words that I picked up from anime, as weeb as that sounds. The one I used the most was suimasen, which is pardon me or excuse me. I was the master of suimasen because I guess, I don't know what it is, but I would say it, in a higher pitched, polite girl voice than my normal speaking voice. I don't know why. I don't know if it was an innate weeaboo thing to be like, say masen, or like, I don't know. But when I did it, all the Japanese businessmen would part like the Red Sea and we would get to our destination. So I was the official, pardon me person of our group when we went around because I could make the masses get the F out of our way. So that and, you know, gomen asai is I'm sorry. You can also say that instead of, excuse me. People will let you through. And then of course you want to be polite and know your arigato, your thank yous, please and thank yous are welcomed around the world. And you'll pick up other things while you're there. Ikatakimasu is thanks for the food and usually say it before you eat. And, I only picked that up when I was there. Every day I had some funky word of the day that I couldn't get out of my brain. Another one was yatta or hooray. So that one was, especially annoying for my comrades over in Japan because of course the day that yatta was on the brain was the day that we went to Universal Studios Japan. So on all the rides, I was screaming yatta over and over again. but I'll get into the Universal trip later on. Pre-Japan, you basically just want to pack clothes, know a couple little words if you're feeling super underconfident about it. And you really want to prepare for the plane ride. Depending on the ride that you book, you're going to be flying anywhere from 10 to 18 hours. Luckily, my friend Kayla, Blue Eyes Dante, and I, we flew together and we took a plane from Florida to New York and then we flew from New York to Japan. The New York to Japan flight was between 11 and 12 hours. And it's pretty brutal if you've never been on an international flight. I didn't think it would be that big of a deal, but we did a lot of research beforehand to make sure that we would take care of ourselves. And the most important thing is hydration because of the air they pump through. It dries you out. If you fall asleep, you will wake up as if you've been drained of all the water in your body. Your lips will be cracked. You're just a mess if you don't constantly drink water when you're on the plane. So, that is extremely important. Try to get sleep. I didn't get any sleep. We did the whole eye mask, earplug, sleep meds. I think Kayla got a little bit of a nap in, but it was pointless for me. I basically marathoned, the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And then we were there. So I was like, all right, Japan. So you get to Japan. Now what? Well, you need to get to your hotel. Japan has an amazing transit system between their buses, their trains, their subways. You can get almost anywhere. It's just you have to navigate them because they're so amazing and you can use them to get almost anywhere. They can be pretty intimidating and complex when you have no idea what you're doing. Luckily, when you're at the airport and you really have no idea what you're doing because you don't have Wi-Fi or phone or anything yet, there, as soon as you get through customs, there's a bus station and you can basically tell them, you know, the name of your hotel and they will give you a bus ticket that takes you to the closest place there. So thank God for excellent customer service in Japan. The hotel that I would recommend to everyone that we stayed at is called Hotel Niwa in Tokyo. It's a fantastic, fantastic hotel. It's a little bit east meets west. A lot of the more expensive hotels are western or westernized, and a lot of the really expensive, nicer hotels are more eastern, but we were trying to save all our money on food. So Hotel Niwa it was had the best price, and they also included breakfast every day. That was monumental in us saving money, and I highly recommend it to anybody that goes to Japan, because you're going to want to eat everything, and you should. You absolutely 100% should eat everything. My quote in Japan was, is that food? I'm going to put it in my mouth, basically. It didn't matter. It could be, well, I didn't have, there was no bugs or anything like crazy like that per se. I mean, there was octopus, squid, there's all kinds of things. Is it food? Okay, I'm going to put it in my mouth. That's how I treated food in Japan. I destroyed everything that I could. And I would have destroyed my wallet more so if it hadn't been for the free breakfast every morning at Hotel Niwa. They had this breakfast buffet that was absolutely fantastic. It had rice, rice porridge, fish, miso soup, you know, bacon, eggs, and some of your traditional things. They would make you a fresh Japanese omelet. And they would bring you ketchup. If any of the anime fans out there know the whole, like, you know, omelets and ketchup thing. A fruit bar, a salad bar with just insane. You could have a plethora of teas. And so we would just eat huge, delicious, Japanese, well-rounded breakfasts. And that would keep us pretty full so that we would be able to snack throughout the day, and eat a lot of ramen.
Awesome.
So that I would, and the breakfast was worth, about, $23 American per person. So that being on our room for the two, Kayla and I, that's about a $50 value. And I think our room was $100 a night. Or
Whoa,
something.
That's
so it was a fantastic deal. And another big thing for Japan is, well, I guess this would be for foreign travel in general. You can rent mobile Wi-Fi. So we had to do this while we were there, unfortunately, because for some reason when I went through the mobile Wi-Fi site that I had been originally recommended, I guess my credit card didn't take. And when we showed up at the hotel, our Wi-Fi wasn't there. So ideally what you do is you go to one of these websites, you pay up front for example, 14 days of Wi-Fi, and they will mail the Wi-Fi like a little, like the size of an iPhone, maybe. They will mail that to your hotel, and when you get there and check in, the hotel will give it to you. You plug it in, let it load up, and it is, you know, collecting Wi-Fi from a satellite, and you don't need a phone. You can use the Wi-Fi to use Google Maps, Google Translate. We use several different apps to communicate amongst our friends, mostly Facebook, Messenger, and Skype. So there's no international calling fees or any of that thing that you have to worry about. You just have it on you, as well as power supply, because your Wi-Fi will run out of battery before you think to plug it in. Because if you're going to be running around 15 hours out of the day, it's going to run down before you do. And then you're going to have no idea where you are and how to get around. So that is another big thing for any sort of international traveling, especially in Japan.
Fascinating. Actually, really, I'm like imagining myself dealing with all this stuff and like.
It sounds so intimidating. I know I was really scared. I was so happy to be going to Japan with people who had already been before. And so while we were there together, the first like 4 days, it was kind of like Japan in tutorial mode, like a video game. And we just stalked them with like, whatever you guys want to do. We're just trying to get a grip of what the hell is going on around us. So that was instrumental in me figuring out. And that's why I was like, I want to go back and I'd be happy to take people who haven't been, because now I know I can help people feel not like they're stepping into, you know, a lion's den. So, one thing that was insanely intimidating that now I feel pretty good about it, is the subway system in Japan. So what we did is you get a card, it's called a Suica card, and you load money on it, just like a subway in America, and you use it to get into the subway, of course, but their system is so intricate and you can go so many different places. If you go to Tokyo Station, the main hub of where all the subway systems can spider out from, it looks like the most insane, terrifying airport you can imagine. There's signage everywhere, just everywhere, but both in English and in Japanese, and just colors directing you to this way and that way, that if you're just kind of, for example, you know, we stalked our friends, just following them along and not knowing where we were going, it was blowing my mind. I had no idea how they were, you know, getting through these areas and getting us to the right trains. But once you know what you're doing, and thanks to such things like Google Maps, thank God for Google Maps, it literally tells you what lines you need to switch off on. It tells you the times that they run, and it even color codes them. So if you can't read, I guess, the English in your Google Maps on your cell phone, if you're illiterate, you can see I need to go to the blue one. Okay, now there's the blue bar, and it has an arrow going that way in blue also. I'm gonna follow that. So, it's extremely intimidating, especially because the train system, more so, again, like an airport, it's also like a mall. There's stores everywhere, and there's even a place called Ramen Alley in the Tokyo Station, and it's gotta be like 10 to 12 different little ramen shops that are all right next to each other.
That sounds... Every single thing you say sounds both intimidating and incredible. Ramen Alley?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's the official name for it, but that's what my friends Joe and Brian called it. We went and ate at one of the shops in there. And it's really funny to watch how the ramen shops compete. Well, not just ramen shops. There are a lot of food vendors that are selling the same type of food right next to each other. For example, if you ever go to Harajuku, the very first crepe shop you find on the main drag has a crepe shop literally facing it on the other side of the walkway. They're dueling crepe shops, it looks like. But you can tell they're not really competing on price. It's weird how, well, it's not weird. It's actually awesome how similar things compete in Japan, because they believe that their product is better. They don't have to, you know, undersell or try to get the best bang for your buck by cheapening their product to compete with somebody else. They make the better product, or at least that's how they believe in their business. So you know, if you go to either of those crepe stands, they're both going to be delicious. So it just depends. This one's line shorter, or, ooh, this picture's prettier. I think I want that one. So, because I'm going to be pointing to that picture because I don't speak Japanese. But so it is pretty incredible.
Well, okay, so I'll say this. The guys know I'm kind of a little bit of a transit nerd, so a transit system which is just confusing in its complexity because of its adequacy is awesome.
I'd never been on a subway or train system until Japan. I've never been to New York City. So that's where everyone's like, oh, subway. after going through that, it's ruined all other public transportation for me. When we went to Dragon Con, we ended up taking the MARTA. No offense, Atlanta. The MARTA sucks. It's fine when it comes to, you know, it's there and it's a tool and that's awesome. But I've never been so confused in my life when I only had two trains to choose from to figure out, okay, which one goes north and which one goes south. And it took us 20 minutes to figure out what train to get on. There's no labeling. There's no color coding. There's just nothing. It's just get on and fucking hope you pick the right one. It's a 50-50 chance. So, and that was just getting from the airport to elsewhere. And of course the airport is like the end of the train line. So I guess apparently if you get on one, they're both going to go north, but we didn't know that. We just knew we had to get on the northbound train and there's two tracks. Why would they both go in the same direction? There's too many questions and not enough answers. So, whereas Japan, there's all the answers. So many answers that you don't know what, that's one thing. There's so many answers and you don't know what questions to ask. So
what, and guys, feel free to pipe up. I have a million questions and I'm sure you do too. So I'll just ask one more. The people in general, especially here in Tokyo, which I guess they're used to tourists, are they pretty friendly to you? I mean, you know, there's probably an undeserved maybe stereotype about people feeling a little bit out of place when they're in Japan. Did you have that experience at all, or were people more or less friendly?
People were extremely friendly. I mean, you do have a couple of interactions here or there, but I mean, Kayla and I knew that we were going to stick out in Japan, and being the, I guess, flamboyant, narcissistic cosplayers we are, we were like, oh, we're going to stick out. Let's make it worse. So she bleached her hair. I dyed my hair bright ginger red. We got our nails done in neon colors. And so we were like Ganguro, Caucasian women in Japan. We have bright blue eyes, both of us. And of course, every morning, because of the time change, we would be waking up at like 5, 6 a.m. Japan time, but nothing really opens in Japan until like 10 or 11. So we had time to kill in the mornings. So besides our 2-hour extravaganza buffet, awesome breakfast we would have every morning, we had still like 2 hours to get ready. So we'd do our hair and do our makeup and put on cute outfits. So we were kind of asking for attention when it came to that. We were not low key at all. but everyone that we interacted with was phenomenal and sweet and kind. And it was just the only way that I could really describe it is that when we came back to America, of course, we had to fly through America's asshole, which is New York. And so you come from this island of such polite people say excuse me and sorry and, you know, are just peaceful and just fucking polite, man. And you go to New York and you get off the plane and you're going through customs and people are cutting the line and calling each other rat bastards and just,
oh my God,
just the complete opposite, to the point that I got legitimately angry, like just suddenly so angry at my own country that I love. Like, I'm a patriot, damn it. I'm a military brat, you know, and you know, I thought about being in the Air Force at one point in my life and all those other things. And I couldn't, and then I was upset with myself that I got upset at my country.
So, I mean, it sounds like it was deserved.
Oh, it was so bad. Oh, it was so bad. But, I mean, every place you go to has its jerks. Kayla and I got plenty of stares, and, you know, we would have people, you know, obviously talking about us. And the Japanese, I must say, are number one in giving side eye. We'd catch that from time to time. Because there's a lot of things that Japanese people don't do that we notice that Americans do. And one of them is that Japanese never wear sunglasses. So we had sunglasses because it was bright and we're used to that, I guess. And Kayla had brought these reflective, like, totally stereotypical aviators. So they had the mirrored lenses. And it was fantastic because, you know, basically Joe, Brian, and I would be on our 3DSs every time we were on a train picking up all our street passes. And she would just look at all the people because they couldn't see her looking at them and watch them staring and or talking or taking pictures of us on their cell phones.
Oh my God.
And it was hysterical, but most of the time it was because they thought we were cool, apparently. There was one girl, a high school girl that had been sitting across from me and I had no idea. I was just in 3DS world. I was probably playing Animal Crossing and apparently the girl had taken a couple pictures of me and like was texting and like, but every time she looked up, she was smiling, but not in like a haha, look at this stupid gangaro bitch. Like she had it in a way that Kayla, when she told me afterwards, she's like, I think that girl like really liked your hair. And it was something about that. So, very, very welcoming. I mean, they're happy to have us come spend money there, I'm sure, in any country. So, the American dollar was actually much stronger while we were there. So it was kind of like everything in Japan was 50% off, or sorry, 15% off. That's how I shopped because it was, 100 yen was 85 cents American.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So if nice. I went and I saw something that was 500 yen, I'm like, sweet, $5 plus 15% off. So that's how I did my conversion maths when I spent money. But, yeah, just sweet people.
Guys, chime in with some questions. I've got more, but I want you to get in on this.
Carol, did you get a chance to go into like any game shops? I know you like tabletop gaming as well. Did you get to go into any video game, tabletop gaming, or any kind of like shops like that? Or even like, anime, comic shops, you know, toy shops, anything like that?
I think I, out of the 11 days I was in Japan, probably 3 to 4 of them I spent in Akihabara, which is the mecca of anime and toys and just awesome. You could spend a lifetime in Akihabara because it's just insane. They have buildings that'll be, you know, 7 or 8 stories tall, and each floor will be something different. Like, one floor will be manga, another floor will be music, another floor will be Gunpla. Like, it's just incredible. And they're just building side by side by side. I didn't get to necessarily go to any gaming store specifically, but there was a bar I wanted to go to, a video game bar, that of course, when I'm trying to bring it up now, it's escaping me, but it's a bar that's in a video game called Akiba Strip, if you're familiar with it. Akiba Strip is a game, I think it might only be on PS4. But it's a game where you basically fight vampires by punching their clothes off of them. It's great. So it's fantastic. And the entire world of Akiba Strip is Akihabara, and it's accurate. They took Akihabara and modeled it and mapped it out, and the stores are supposed to be the same. And the main place where the characters hang out is, I think it's called Magra. It's a video game bar called Magra that they hang out at, and it's supposed to be a real place. So I was like, I'm going to this bar and I'm having a fucking drink. It's going to be amazing. And I did. I found it, but unfortunately it was closed when I went. I went at like 10:30 at night. Apparently they don't open till midnight. But the problem is that the trains stop running at like 11, And then you have to take a taxi, and taxis are super expensive, and I had, like, the whole group with me, and it was a thing to be like, oh, I don't think I can come back, you know? So that's next time I go to Japan, I'm going to go back. I'm going to have a drink there. I took a picture of the sign because it's not huge signage. It was kind of hard to find. There's just a door and a box, maybe the size of like a longer envelope that said Magra on it and had like a little invader. And that was it. I took a picture of that. But, this Akihabara is just amazing. I spent so much money there. And my favorite thing that I have to recommend to anybody that goes to Japan, is in, I wanted to bring this to a con, actually, if I could. In Akihabara, there are stores that are basically stores full of glass cubes. And you can rent these cubes and sell your own collections out of them.
Oh.
It's amazing. So there'll be entire stores where it's just walls of like glass IKEA cubes. And then the ones that are empty, it'll tell you what the price per week it is to have your stuff in there. So kind of like, what's it called? I don't know. It's kind of like tiny garage sales. But it's all nerd stuff. So you could find figures and collectible items that aren't being produced anymore. Or a lot of times you would find in them the collectible items that you can only get out of the claw machines. Because there'd be people that are crazy good at claw, and they'll go and they'll get all the items out of them and then sell them for way more than they're worth because of their rarity and make bank. So, I got a lot of Sailor Moon stuff out of those. And, there were thrift stores for collectible items. I was able to buy the old 1990, Sailor Moon Henshin pen set that, I couldn't believe it's in shrink wrap. Like, I want to open it because I want to play with them. But I don't want to open it because it's in shrink wrap and it's in pristine condition. And it was only, it retails probably on eBay for a couple hundred. And I got it for 6,500 yen. So like 60 bucks. And I couldn't handle it. It had to be mine at that price, even though I don't need it. It's insane. You will spend so much money. They have used cosplay stores. So Kayla was able, I think she bought like 3 or 4 costumes while we were there that were just beautiful. They have brand new cosplay stores as well there, but the used cosplay store we went through because we were like, we're not spending $200 when we could make it ourselves. Let's go to the cosplay thrift store and see if we can get a deal and find a costume that's cheaper than the fabric would even be just to make it. And that we did. I bought one costume. I might premiere it at MizuCon. It depends on if it fits. It didn't quite fit because the one downside about buying things in Japan, or at least cosplay wise, they don't let you try it on. So I was just kind of like, well, it looks like it might fit. Oh well, it's 15 American dollars. What am I gonna do? I'll try. And worst case scenario, I'll sell it to a friend or give it as a gift. And it just barely didn't fit, so it might fit now. But, Akihabara, you could spend your entire vacation in if you're a nerd.
Yeah, yes. Definitely plan on going there for sure.
Same here. And that backs up what I've heard. It's like paradise.
It is. And it's all, there's so many little hole in the wall shops, that you'll just, you know, trip in an alley and suddenly you're in a Gundam shop or something. Like, whoa, where did this come from? You know, anything and everything. There's maid cafes forever, there as well. You'll see them on the street handing flyers, all the little maid girls in their outfits, saying, oh, come to maid cafe, but in Japanese.
Go on.
They're so cute. And we didn't go to a maid cafe, unfortunately, while we were there. Because some cafes, there is a little bit of some things that you don't do in Japan. So I guess I can get into that. Things to not do in Japan. Sometimes there are cafes or restaurants where they don't really like foreigners. And you can go to them and you'll know because you won't really get excellent service. Or they might, I don't know if anybody's ever been turned away, but when we were looking into maid cafes and being like, oh, well, these ones should be foreigner friendly in Akihabara. But when we talked about, Kayla and I really wanted to go to a host club because we thought it would be hilarious. But we were told that host clubs are not foreigner friendly because, you know, a host club is basically prostitution without the sex. You're making a relationship, a client relationship of, you know, flirting. And so the host clubs don't want to spend their time with foreigners because they're going to get one meat out of them, you know? Whereas if you're a Japanese girl or guy working with a host, like, they're going to make a relationship and make money off of you over time because they're going to charge you more as you continue to want to hang out with them. So certain things like that.
Well, that's fine because I can not have sex for free in America. So.
right.
Let's see. What's another do not in Japan? I can't remember right now. I'm sure I'll come across them. A cafe that you can go to that I went to and highly, highly recommend is Akiba Owl. In Akihabara, there is an owl cafe.
Yeah, I've heard of this.
It is amazing. It was on my list to go to a cat cafe, a rabbit cafe, and an owl cafe. And unfortunately, the owl cafe is the only one that happened, but it was the one that I wanted the most. So I was okay with this. I can't, and we went on our like second to last day, and I cannot explain how amazing and happy and phenomenal the experience was. It's called Akiba Owl. It's in Akihabara. And you pay, 1500 yen. So, you know, $15 minus 15% at that time. And you go in and you get to select from like 10 different bottles of water. They have sparkling and all kinds of fancy waters. I just was like, oh, this one looks the fanciest. Mine. And you're in a room, I think in the room or like cafe. It's not just one room. There was maybe 15 people, like 15 guests, and maybe 4 or 5 employees. And there were at least 25 owls in this room with you. Wow. So it's not like there's just one owl and he just dances for you for an hour. And so you get your water and then they talk to you a little bit. They give you actually a book that, tells you how to handle them and not to take pictures in their faces and please no video, things like that. Do not do in Japan. They really don't like video, like anywhere, especially in stores. They do not like pictures and video in stores, and in most places, if they at least allow pictures, they do not like video because they have like weird copyright or something, but talk about that later. You could probably talk about it in your copyright talk.
Can't wait.
But, you could, eventually they let you get up and for about an hour, you can pick up, pet, and basically touch and interact with all of the owls in the room, except for the one sleeping. If an owl is sleeping, do not touch the owl. It will bite you. at least that's what they tell you. And they even put all the owls had like a designated place that they hung out in. And each place had a little sticker with their name and what type of owl they were. And like a little blip, like, I like cheese or very, very, very host clubby, like, Like this, oh my gosh, you know, our favorite owl was, named Mr. Yamashito. And he was the tiniest, angriest little owl that you could imagine. His face was just in a constant, I hate the world, I want to watch it burn expression. But he couldn't have been bigger than, you know, the size of a softball. And so Mr. Yamashito was a fan favorite, at least among our group. We called him Yamashito Senpai and wanted him to notice us. there was a Tomato. He was a cutie. They had all different breeds of owls. They even had, they had two owls that were enormous that were on the floor. They didn't have a pedestal. They had a, like a tree trunk that they hung out on and they just kind of walked around. You weren't allowed to pick them up, but that's probably because they looked like they were like 30 pounds. Like I, that's a lot of owl to handle. So you could pet them and you could kind of interact with them, but they were all amazing. So then you interact with the owls and then eventually you all take turns and the, store employees, they take your picture with the owl. And then they print out the picture for you and you take it when you leave and they gave each of us one. So for your 1500 yen, you get an hour with the owls, a fancy bottle of water that probably costs 500 yen by itself, and, a postcard picture that's double-sided, color, laminated, has like this cool frame on it, is beautiful, and then on the other side, it, you know, says, you know, Akihabara owls and has like a picture of owls and shit. And they're, it's freaking cool, I'm gonna have it till the day I die. You know, so not only do I have this experience that was well worth the money, but I got the souvenir and you have to go. If you're in Japan, you have to go. Hands down.
That sounds absolutely magical. And are the owls like, I'm finding myself increasingly becoming an animal person, but they're okay. Like they're treated well. They're not, you don't get the.
No, they're totally fine. They're raised in captivity. It says that they have in the booklet, you read about how they're taken care of. And so they're raised in captivity and they're very well taken care of. Apparently some of their, I think some of their proceeds go to like owl stuff. I don't quote me on that, but, they seemed happy, except for Mr. Yamashito. You have no idea what he's thinking because he's just perpetually angry looking, but that's why we loved him. So,
oh my God.
I think they're well taken care of.
My teeth heard that place sound so like sickeningly sweet.
It was awesome. They played classical music while we were there. It was the fanciest. There's flowers and just, it was great. Speaking of fancy, McDonald's in Japan kicks our McDonald's ass.
Really?
We went to McDonald's to try breakfast at McDonald's in Japan. And I actually took a video of it that's on my Facebook somewhere. But we were sitting at McDonald's and I realized they were playing Beethoven. So we were sitting at a McDonald's eating. I had a hot dog for breakfast because Japan apparently loves hot dogs. There'll be entire stores dedicated to hot dogs. That's their American food, I guess. And on their breakfast menu, they have a hot dog with ketchup and relish. And I was like, is that food? I'm putting it in my face. Let's go. So, we were eating hot dogs and, you know, their version of Egg McMuffins and pancakes and listening to classical music. And it's like there were Japanese businessmen reading the paper next to us and with classical music playing, eating McDonald's. So it was amazing. Yes, to say the least. There's not much else to say about McDonald's other than that their french fries there every McDonald's, they have seasoning packets they sell, with the French fries. And depending on the season, they'll have special ones. So while we were there, since it was cherry blossom season, they had cherry blossom fry seasoning. And what you do is you dump the French fries in your bag that your food came in, dump the seasoning in, shake it up, and then eat it. And it is delicious. And I love seasonings. So I wish our McDonald's had that, like, you know, garlic parmesan or whatever they want to do. And you just pour it in the bag with your hot, piping hot fries, shake it up so there's still a little oil on them and it collects all the flavor. Ugh, it would be so good if we had that here. So we ate a lot of French fries in Japan from McDonald's because the seasonings were just so good and you had to try, as many as you could. So
I want to go.
I'm trying to think of all the various places. We went to Harajuku. Harajuku is basically the fashion in heart of Japan. Places like Bodyline and a bunch of different fashion lines have their shops there. It's also where you'll find most crepe. I guess they're known for their crepes because there's crepe stations everywhere and they're all delicious. So spend a lot of time in there. There's also a store in Harajuku called Daiso, which is the Japanese version of the dollar store. Everything is 100 yen, and it's not just crap. There's almost anything you could ever need, including drinks. I bought a ton of candy and snacks. I just went in the snack aisle and was like, one of each of you is coming home. So I bought a lot of Christmas gifts there too, because they had whole like bento sets and accessories. And my friend, Stephanie asked me that that's what she wanted from Japan was bento stuff. And I was like, sweet. She's only going to cost me like 300 yen. Woohoo. You know? And, they even had, it's kind of funny. It looks like a shower cap, but it's for your bowl or plate. It's a little plastic thing with, just like a shower cap with elastic that's meant to be put over, bowls and plates. You can just stick them in the fridge and not have to like transfer it into Tupperware. Things like that.
Oh, cool.
Insane little like, oh, this is so useful. You're coming home with me. You're 100 yen. I also got a cap that's supposed to be for, 2 liters. That you screw on to the top of the 2 liter instead of its normal cap, and then it's a pop top. So, because it creates a better seal to after you have already opened the 2 liter to keep the carbonation in. Great. So, I grabbed one of those and all kinds of other things. So, there is a Daiso, I believe, either in California. I think there's a Daiso in California, and there might be one opening in Texas. And they are selling the Japanese goods. So they are slowly, I guess, opening them in America. So let's cross our fingers we get one in Miami, because that would be amazing.
Yes. I don't know if it's the same company, but there is a store that sort of fits that description here in Seattle. And I'm kind of...
It might be one. Right. Yeah. Because I feel like my friend Andrea went to Washington recently, and she went to Daiso, but I know they took a day trip to California too, so I'm not sure where they went, but it's quite possible that there is one in Seattle. I would not be surprised.
Andrea Toki?
Yes, technically Toki.
How did I know?
So let's see what other places we went to. We went to Osaka, which is supposed to be the capital for food in Japan. So we only went there for a day, and we ate as much as we could, had a fantastic sit-down meal that didn't break the bank. I think I spent 800 yen on like a 5-course Japanese meal with sushi and udon and just... Full, so delicious. We just couldn't. It was just kind of like a random, like, oh, we're hungry. This place looks fine. Let's just eat here. And it ended up being one of the best meals we had the whole trip. So that was pretty awesome. In Osaka on another day, we went to Universal Studios Japan. And it is well worth the money if you can go. Admission, I want to say, is 7,900 yen. So it comes out to like 70 bucks American, which is crazy cheap compared to our Universal Studios, because their Universal Studios is basically, Islands of Adventure and Universal together. They don't have two separate parks. So Universal Studios Japan still has the Jaws ride, in case you were wondering. And it is amazing to go on that ride in Japanese when the sharks are attacking. Fun fact about the Japanese we learned while in Universal, they do not like to make noise. And by make noise, I mean they don't laugh, they don't scream on roller coasters, and it's kind of terrifying because we realized there was this big screaming roller coaster above us that's kind of like the Hulk, and it would like zoom right by us, and you wouldn't hear a peep out of the people
really?
On it. And
it's so weird.
It was so weird to us, and I think, you know, in Japan they have the whole saying about, you know, the nail that sticks out is the one that gets hammered. So they don't stick out and they don't make noise or maybe something like that. I might be reading into it too much. Don't quote me and don't think I'm racist, please. So
we do.
But oh no. But it was just so weird that there was no noise. Of course, we're loud. We're being stereotypical Americans just having a blast because we couldn't handle the Jaws ride. It was hysterical. The little Japanese woman that was the, tour guide on the boat, and she's hamming it up. You know, she's using the shotgun. She's in character. And the whole boat is just like quiet and we're just, ah, it's Jaws! Oh my God, we're gonna die! Like, just having a blast. And of course at the end, cause this was the day that Yatta was Carol's word of the day. As when we got out of there and, you know, we killed Jaws, I just went, Yatta! And it was a good time. She said Yatta back, so she accepted my excitement, I guess. another thing that they have at Japan that we no longer have at our Universal Studios is my personal favorite ride, Back to the Future.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes,
I
for sure.
Adore that ride, and I was really upset when they took it out. But Japan had it, and that was basically my only reason for going to Universal Japan was to ride that ride again, and it's fantastic. When you go into that first room where they play the video, it's the exact same video, but it's reverse where it's dubbed into Japanese instead of, you know, being used to watching anime and seeing it English dubbed. It was in English and I knew what it was supposed to be saying, but it was dubbed with very bad lip syncing into Japanese. and it was absolutely hysterical. And of course, Biff's Japanese voice was amazing. It was this, I can't do an impersonation. It's on YouTube. I took video of it. I snuck some video because reasons. I'm an American. I'm a jerk. So, and it was just hysterical. And then you get on the ride, and of course the entire ride's in Japanese, and so the four of us were in the front row, and then we had two Japanese couples, little high schoolers, in the back row with us. And that was the only time I heard Japanese people get loud. And I think it's because it was okay for them to be loud and have fun because we were in the front being loud and having fun. Like,
oh, nice.
Like it rubbed off kind of thing because it was just, I don't know. I think that it would be contagious. I find laughter contagious. That's why I love seeing comedians live. You know, if people, I don't know. But my favorite part that made the entire trip for Universal was at the very end when everything was said and done. I went to go, Yatta! And freaking Doc said "Yatta" at the exact same time, and I was like, "Vacation over, Japan. We're done. I'm out. We're good."
You mic dropped Japan and walked off stage.
Thank you.
That's funny.
Nice.
So we did that. Any fans of Monster Hunter?
A little bit. Yep.
They had a really cool exhibit where they had Monster Hunter costumes, and then they had a place where you could sit down in Street Pass and play Monster Hunter and charge your DS. They had DS charging stations.
Of course. At Universal?
At Universal.
Of course they did. Awesome. Of course they had something
in the Monster Hunter area.
Damn it.
So it was really cool. But I think the icing on the cake, which was why Joe and Brian wanted to go to Universal so badly, was they had a temporary Evangelion ride.
What?
It was Evangelion 4D. And it did not have subtitles in English or anything, you know, it was all in Japanese, but it was phenomenal. And I don't think it's there anymore, but, you enter this room and it's all black. And then all of a sudden these lights come up and it's all the various like anonymous voices that Shinji's dad talks to. And they're all talking about the fate of the world and things, or I can only assume since I don't speak Japanese. And I finally look back behind me and there's Shinji's dad up there speaking, and you're just in a horde of people in a room all looking up and hearing all these voices speaking around you. And then you're ushered into a movie theater, the whole like 4D rumble seats experience. And they basically explain to you that all of us are gonna be on this little flying ship going around and collecting data for the Evas about the fight that's about to go down. So we all get in our little ship that is an auditorium, and it's just rumble seats. It's basically the first big battle that happens in Eva, but you know, the seats are moving, they blow air on you. But the part that really made it was when Shinji's Eva, when he gets knocked out and it goes nuts.
Berserk mode?
Yes, it goes berserk mode. And it's punching the daylights out of the angel as they sprayed us. There's blood just everywhere on the screen. Just insane amount of blood. And then they're hitting you with the water. And it just won't stop. It's just like, okay, we get it. There's blood. Oh, there's more blood. And and it's just the immersion of it. You literally, even though it was just water, it felt heavy. There was so much of it. Like, it literally felt like you were just drenched and coated in blood. It was so cool.
That sounds real. Why was this temporary? That sounds amazing.
I know. Not sure. It seems like the 4D theater is sort of like they put different things in there at different times. So there's always some shifting ride in there. So that was amazing. One other thing, I guess, that's unique, at least Universal there, is they had an Attack on Titan area.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit,
and you could take pictures with like, there's a Titan with a hand, and you can, like, go in it and look like the Titan's about to eat you and be like, oh, no, photo op. And all the employees are dressed up like the little Attack on Titan soldiers. So that was pretty cool. I'm not a big fan of the show, personally, but I was like, whoa, anime stuff. I guess Universal does that. Harry Potter World in Universal was pretty cool. At our Florida Universal Studios, they don't sell the scarves anymore, because it's just too hot down here. I guess they won't sell, but they had them in Japan. So that was the one thing that I bought was, I now have a Gryffindor scarf, and on the tag it says Universal Studios Japan. So I'm very proud of that souvenir since they were at least pretty coveted for the U.S. But I guess that's it for Universal Studios. It was pretty awesome. We were trying to decide between, Walt Disney or Disney Tokyo or Tokyo Disney and Universal Studios. And we ended up going with Universal. So I'm pretty, pretty psyched about that. I'll have to do Disney another time, I guess.
Yeah, Disney would have been my instinct, but Universal sounds like really awesome.
Yeah. Well, with Disney, it was it was a lot more expensive. And I mean, you get so much, it's a lot of the same stuff, but in Japanese, whereas the Universal Studios, it had, you know, the Ava ride and Attack on Titan. They have a lot more, Hello Kitty and as their like their little kid land instead of it being like, Toon Land with like Popeye and things like that or Seuss World. They had like Hello Kitty World. They also had a lot of Peanuts stuff. Peanuts is huge in Japan. Snoopy is on everything. They love Peanuts. So my dad loves Peanuts. So I bought him a couple items that had Snoopy on them and stuff like that. So with the new Peanuts movie coming out, I bet Japan must be psyched for it. So.
Yeah, I had no idea it had such a following over there.
Yeah, me either. It's like our first day, we went to Harajuku and we went to, a park called Yoyogi Park. And it has a shrine and like a little gift shop and stuff. And, I went to get some water and they had water with Snoopy and Peanuts characters on it. And I was like, what the hell? Give me that Snoopy water. I'll pay 10 more yen for the Snoopy water. So, that was really neat. They had a lot of water with Elsa on it too. I have never heard the song Let It Go more in my life than when I was in Japan. and you think that the craze for Frozen is big here. It is even bigger in Japan. And they play the English, they play the Japanese, they play the I've never heard so many variations of the song.
Wow.
We went to, I guess for other theme stuff, we went to Jump World, which was Shonen Jump's theme park.
Didn't know that existed.
It's a thing. It's basically inside of like a mall. And, it's pretty cool, but it's not like, you know, roller coasters or anything like that. It's indoor and you can basically like walk through fake sets from the anime. And they have games you can play to win collectible items. And they have a giant gift shop. And their restaurant is also huge. And you can buy foods from the different, storylines in there. So I had, ramen from Naruto. And, I think my friend had yakisoba from one of the basketball animes and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool. The one main thing they have is they have this giant room that you can walk into. And in the center is this pedestal with a screen that's a touch screen and you can click on characters. And as you click on them, they say things. And if you click enough from a certain show, all of a sudden you'll be surrounded. The entire room is maybe like 12 TV screens, just the walls are entire TVs, and each one will have a character from the show on it, and then they'll all start interacting with each other, and there'll be some sort of joke at the end, I guess, because it was in Japanese, I didn't know, but it seemed like they were busting each other's balls, but it was fun to be like, all right, let's hit all the Dragon Ball Z ones, all right, let's hit all the let's hit all of the Luffy and One Piece characters. Yeah, let's see what they gotta say, even though we won't understand. Woo! They also gave us Frieza hats. That was pretty cool. I wish I had taken it home with me. I ended up putting my Frieza hat on top of this guy's head that was in the Naruto ramen shop. Like, it was a fake ramen maker or something, and I decided he was gonna be Frieza. So, the Frieza mask hat things they gave us were definitely for children. Not only children, but Japanese children. So they were way too small for our heads, even on the fat kid setting. So it was like, you know, it wouldn't stay on my head. And we had just gotten there. And you have to pay money every time you open the lockers. And all of our stuff was already put away. So I was like, all right, you're going to hang out here, Frieza. But that's when the movie was about to come out, the new DBZ movie. So that was fun. We also went to a very famous Gundam store, and The last theme park kind of thing we did, is we went to a theme park called Fuji Q, which is, right next to Mount Fuji. And this theme park has several of the roller coasters that are in the Guinness Book of World Records for various different things. They also had a giant Evangelion exhibit where you could go in and all the different rooms had different photo ops. One of them being, Shinji's dad's desk with all of the, anonymous world leaders around him. And so you could sit in the desk and take photos. There are also some like over battle plans next to Misato. And, there was a really great photo op where it was a, tiny model of where the Evangelions are, like in the workshop. And then they had like a Shinji and a Misato that couldn't have been higher, taller than an inch. And then you could walk and stick your head in there, like your giant head is the Eva. Oh. Just a bunch of silly stuff. And then they also had an Evangelion roller coaster, which was wicked awesome. They had their own, mascots that are basically like rip-off Power Rangers, and they would have informational videos of like how to get on the ride and how to not treat others, where they were basically just in costume busting each other's balls. And they're pretty adorable. We took pictures with all of them. But I think that's it for like theme park stuff that we did.
Incredible.
That's pretty amazing.
I'm like one, not that I wasn't already sold, but I'm totally sold on this, on visiting Japan. We have to actually do a Ganza Goes like trip.
For sure.
You can't get to Atlanta.
True. Well, the MARTA, we can't. The MARTA, I mean, only has two lines. It's confusing. We have to go to Japan where it's easier.
Yeah, thank God I went to Japan. I don't think I would ever have gotten to Dragon Con without that experience to tutorial me on trains.
Right, right. So we got to go to Japan as a warm-up for Dragon Con.
Yes. food in Japan is incredible. I didn't have a single bad meal. One of our favorite things to do, well, I guess one thing that I was told beforehand to preface all of this is if you're trying to save money, but you want to eat really good food, eat your fancy / sit down foods for lunch, because most Japanese restaurants will serve basically the same thing they have at dinner for lunch as well, but at much cheaper prices. Because Japan takes their food so seriously, you can spend a lot of money on food, but you can also still eat amazing without spending a fortune. So, I came way under budget for food, and that was with the whole, is that food? I'm gonna put it in my mouth, experience, and I can eat a lot. So, I did not starve. I probably ate several meals a day. And one of the things that I tried there that was awesome was this type of ramen called Tsukumen ramen. And it's ramen where you can either get the noodles warm or cold, but the noodles are separate from the broth. And then you get the broth in a separate bowl and the broth is boiling. And you take the noodles and you put them in the broth and you warm them up / cook them and then eat them. And what's unique about it other than, oh, well, it's just ramen that's work. Why don't you just pour the noodles in the soup? I don't see what the big deal is. Well, with the Tsukumen ramen, the broth that they give you is highly concentrated. So when you dip the ramen in there, it's almost like you're coating it in flavor because it's thicker. And whereas if you were to just pour the noodles in there, A, your noodles would get overcooked. And B, they would soak up the broth and then they would be over flavored as well. So we went to a shop that specialized in it that, was the best ramen I had the entire time I was there. It's in downtown Tokyo. I think it's called Tsukuman Ramen. I think they're the place that like made it famous, but now all the ramen shops have some sort of like wannabe Tsukuman Ramen, which Brian ate everywhere because that's his favorite type of ramen. But their thing at this shop that's known for it is, you know, your broth is given to you boiling, but as you're eating, it cools off. So you can have them come and they'll actually bring you a hot stone that you can put into your broth to warm it back up again. And we took a video. This stone is beyond hot. You do not want to just drop it in your broth like I did because I'm super smart and I didn't know what I was doing. You're supposed to have the rock on the spoon and then you just sort of like dip it into your broth and it'll just start and like boiling and your broth will instantly be bubbly and boiling again. Well, I was like, oh, I put the rock in the soup. So I took the rock on the little spoon and I just dropped it into my soup and my soup just exploded with bubbles and then I had to wait for it to cool down. So I was just really excited about rocks, I guess. But that was absolutely fantastic. And in that plaza, there's a bunch of different restaurants. And that one was where I first saw a restaurant completely dedicated to hot dogs. Different types of amazing hot dogs. And I really, really wanted to eat there. But I was so full from the ramen shop that there was no way I could make it happen. And I loved the ramen so much that if for some reason I could fit more food, I was just going to order another bowl. we did go to Tokyo Tower, which is famous in a lot of anime. Specifically, Kayla is a huge Clamp fan, and a fan of a story called X. And apparently, I guess there's a huge battle on Tokyo Tower that takes place that's very emotional and just is near the ending of the series. So, we had to go check it out and it was really cool. You take an elevator all the way up and the whole top of Tokyo Tower is this giant, room that's just windows everywhere and they even have some pieces of the floor that are glass so you can look down. But you can see Tokyo and Japan for miles from this tower. I took an obscene amount of like worthless pictures because it's just buildings, but it was just way too cool. And up there, they had a piano player or maybe an idol. I don't know, but it was a woman who's young, beautiful. She was playing piano and she was singing. So it was classy as fuck up there as well. And there is a bar with like ice cream and all these different things. So that was really neat. Another plus getting back to Hotel Niwa. If you stay at Hotel Niwa, there's a chance that you might be on the side of the hotel that looks into a local high school. Okay. So there were a lot of events that happened where, oh my god, it's just like anime, weeboo, like reactions.
No.
Because every morning before we would leave, we would hear the bong, 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 bong,
yes,
start of classes. And when we would go to, we would try to not go to the trains too early because we didn't want to go during rush hour. But on the days that we did go, we would see the hordes of students in their uniforms of every type. And it was just so cool to see all the different uniforms, all the different schools, and you know, they don't talk to each other, they're all in their own cliques. And you know, the sailor uniforms are real. Like, it's not something that's gone away over time that used to be a thing in the 90s and then, you know, fetish people keep it up or anime keeps it up. No, they're still there. They're real. That's the standard middle school uniform, whereas the blazer and bow and tie thing is more where the high schools are going now. But some high schools still have the sailor uniforms. So that was really cool to see.
Awesome. The fact that the school setting for pretty much, you know, the start of every anime involving teenage heroes is legit pretty much is the crowning piece of information on the, of your Japan report, as far as I'm concerned. And I think, I don't know. I think that's the crowning piece of intel for me, guys. Do you agree? I've wanted to wear one of those schoolgirl uniforms my entire life, and now I can.
Now you can. I probably have one that would. I probably have one that would fit you.
I doubt it.
It's a 6XL. So.
Oh well. Teehee.
Teehee. It's very feminine, and. But
I'm Tomaru. Oh my god.
Tom Chan.
Tommy Chan.
He's so kawaii.
Oh my god, I walk into the room and it does a little sparkle thing like
See, you just transformed and
I'm like Princess Kenny from South Park essentially, but...
Speaking of Princess Kenny, and anime moments, I'll talk about a few anime moments. We went to, I can't remember, I think it was Shinjuku? I don't think so, but it was this one downtown area, and that was another like, oh my god, it's just like anime! There were these giant high-rises that had the screens on them, and there were idols performing on the screens.
What?
And no I way. Just flipped out over that because I really wanted to go to an idol concert. Like, any idol. Like, ideally, like, a girl idol band. But I really wanted to go so I could see all the screaming fans and see, you know, dancing girls. Like, being kawaii and desu. So, but we went down there because one thing I got to do that's no longer there is I went to the Sailor Moon Cafe that was only there for a few months. When Sailor Moon Crystal came out, and it was awesome. It was in the downstairs of a radio station, so it was actually in, like, the basement of this building, and they had drinks that were themed after every character and dishes, and with each drink you ordered, you got a souvenir coaster, and with each meal you got a souvenir, like, poster or placemat. They had cookies with the characters' faces, and food was just so beautiful, you didn't want to eat it, and then until you ate it, then you wanted to eat it because it was so delicious. And there's tons of themed cafes like that. I believe there's supposed to be a Final Fantasy one, a Monster Hunter
what?
One, a Gundam one. I think there might, I feel like there's a Kingdom Hearts one as well, or that might be like a temporary one. Or one that's coming out soon. But they'll have these theme cafes, some that are around all the time, and some that just pop up. So we went to a bar called Kaiju Sakaba that was originally a kaiju-themed bar and cafe. But it did so well that it's now there year-round. So that was pretty neat because there was a lot of drunk businessmen in there. So another just like anime moment. Let's talk about drunk businessmen in Japan.
Oh, no.
Or
it's
just
real.
Drinking in Japan. Drinking is hardcore in Japan. I will never be as cool as some of the Japanese people I saw that were hammered on the subways in Japan. My favorite Japanese businessman was, there was this one gentleman that was so blackout wasted that he was standing near the door of the train and he was purposefully slamming his head into the glass door, and I couldn't understand. I thought he was psychotic, so I turned to Brian and I was, what the f is going on with this guy? Like, he's like, ew, he just kept doing it harder and harder, where I was getting to the point where I was like, is this guy going to give himself a concussion? Like, what the hell is going on? And then apparently it realized that he was doing that to keep himself from vomiting. That's how hardcore this guy was. He was inflicting pain on himself to choke back vomit. Because in Japan, you don't want to stick out. What's more sticking out than if you're the businessman puking on the subway? So
I kind of think the businessman slamming his head into the subway.
Yeah.
I guess.
Sticking out too.
I don't know.
Kind of hammering yourself.
I mean, a lot of people were side-eyeing him, but of course they were the number one side-eyers Japanese, but we were just staring at him like, what's going to happen?
Jesus.
There were all kinds of drunk Japanese businessmen, and there was one Japanese woman that her two girlfriends were basically carrying her. It was awesome. It was really awesome.
But even when they're drunk, other than slamming their head into subways, they're not like boisterous and going crazy.
No. They're just like, oh, I'll see you at work tomorrow, I guess, you know, in Japanese. I don't know. But they all bow really funny because, like, we would get back to the hotel and, like, a bunch of businessmen would be getting off the subway too. And I guess they'd be all going home because it's like 10 at night. And so you would see these clusters of businessmen, like, in a circle, and they would all be saying goodnight, and they would just be, like, bowing to each other, but a little bit, like, not, like, they have the best balance. So, and they would just bow over and over and do their thing, so.
Wow. We need to make an anime awesome. called Good Evening Salarymen.
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh, the salarymen.
Hilarious.
Drinking in Japan is awesome. They have, I mean, I guess it would be the equivalent of Smirnoff, but Smirnoff's not cool here. In Japan, they have a brand of alcoholic drinks that are basically alcoholic ramené or Japanese soda. And they have tons of flavors and they're all delicious. 7-Elevens are, oh my god, just like an anime. There's just walls of drinks, walls of food. You can buy dinner at 7-Eleven and just go home and heat it up and eat it. They have all kinds of food. There were several nights where we were just tired. And plus, you know, we didn't want to go have a really expensive sit-down dinner. So we would just go to 7-Eleven and eat a buffet of 7-Eleven food. So we'd get pork buns and some of the things that I tried was what I like to call a Japanese corn dog. It was a hot dog bun with a corn and mayonnaise mixture inside the bun. No meat,
oh, wow.
Nothing else, maybe cheese. But yeah, I called it Japanese corn dog and I ate it and it was delicious. They also had yakisoba dogs where it was a hot dog bun with yakisoba in the middle. So it was bread and noodles if you want to just carb it up that day. My favorite thing to get was I would get a can of beer and then I would get a pizza bun, which was just like a pork bun, but instead it would be filled with cheese and tomato sauce and they were delicious. So I made it a joke, at least I put it on my Instagram thinking I was so smart. Japanese pizza and beer, LOL, you know.
Wow, sounds pretty amazing.
And then yes. Kayla and I had two instances that were interactive, just like in anime. The first one was just me, where I was in Akihabara, and there's the walls and walls of the cubes, and they're from the floor to the ceiling. And there was a little, well, not a little, he was a pretty big, he was a plump otaku, and he was looking at one of the bottom cubes, and he wasn't going anywhere, and I wanted to get by because there were some Sailor Moon wands, you know, across the way, and so in my cute little wannabe weeb voice, I was, oh, suimasen, and he looks up out of the corner of his eye, and I can only think now as what he saw is he saw this red-haired, blue-eyed, big-busted American girl in a skirt that just spoke to him in a cute voice. And immediately, his head turns down, and he goes, "Come in a sai!" and flees the scene.
No.
Gets the fuck out of Dodge. And I couldn't understand it. I was like, oh no, like what happened? And I told Kayla about it later and she just looked at me and she goes, he's going to be fapping to that for weeks. And I was like, oh, I just wanted to see Sailor Moon okay. So, and then in the same store, we were on another level, and Kayla was buying, she bought a bunch of Japanese manga, of her favorite types that she wants to kind of, manga is insanely cheap in Japan. If you can read Japanese, that is awesome. I wish I could read Japanese just for that, because manga will be like 300 yen a book when it's like 10 bucks here. So Kayla bought a bunch of her favorite mangas in Japanese so that she could take, cut them up and like make, decoupage tables and different things out of her favorite art. And so she bought them and she went up to the cashier and she complimented the cashier. He had a little pen of, Aladdin from Magi, and she had Magi manga that she was buying, and she's like, oh, Magi, sugoi, you know, awesome. So she, and he was like, oh, you know, arigato, and he like checks her out and everything. And then at the end of the checkout, hands her the books, and then he takes off his Magi pen and he gives it to her and goes, gift.
Wow.
And nice. We couldn't, that's we were both sweet. There and she looks, it was like, it was our, the last day before we left, and she looks at me and I look at her and she starts talking to me and she's like, I don't have anything to give back. Like, what do I do? Like, aren't you supposed to give something back if someone gives you a gift? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't have anything either. And so we just look at her. We just go, arigato, arigato. And she had lost her voice because I think we were at Universal the day before. And so we'd been screaming. And so she had the tiniest little, like, adorable, like, arigato. Like, and so we bowed like 10 times, I guess. We're like, oh, we don't know what to do. We don't have anything. I have air bread in my purse that's like 5 days old. I don't think he'll appreciate that. So, it was that. So that was random that she complimented him on his pin and he just gave it to her.
That's pretty cool.
The final moment that was probably the funniest was, the quintessential anime moment is we're hauling ass to catch this train that only comes every 30 minutes. Most trains come like every 2 to 3 minutes. So it's not a big deal if you miss one, but you're never really trying to make one anyway. So we're running. We get to the train and, you know, we just make it and the cars are packed. And so we're like, oh God, we all gotta slam into here somehow. So Joe and Brian dive for one car, and then Kayla tugs on me and she's like, let's go into this one. Well, as soon as I'm about to follow her, some room kind of shifts in the car that Brian and Joe are in. So I go ahead and jump in with them. And, you know, we figure Kayla made it into the other car. And the doors slowly start closing. And then here comes Kayla running back and like, oh, and, you know, as the doors are starting to close, we didn't know what to do. And she's like, oh, I'll just catch the next one. And I don't know what happened. I was at the door and I guess instincts got over me and I just tried. I grabbed the doors and I pulled them apart. I guess I'm strong or the doors nice. Aren't. I don't know what it was, but I...
Gaijin smash!
Yeah, I hulked yes. open the doors, and then she just... And I'm like, get in! And she just looks at me, like, just dumbfounded by the fact that I just pried doors open. And so she doesn't move. So I end up... I take one arm, and I wrap it around her, and I pull her into the car. The car's packed. So she's basically standing on top of my feet once I let the doors go. And it was just such a like strange and hilarious situation that she just starts giggling, but we're packed and Kayla's shorter than me. So her head and face are in my bosom and she's giggling. I know she's giggling, but to everyone else, her giggles are muffled and her face is red. So it looks like she's sobbing and it's dead quiet in the car that we're in. And I'm like laughing and you know, I suddenly realize how quiet it is and I look up and every single pair of eyes in the car are not side-eyeing. They are full on staring at us and it's so quiet. And so after a moment, I just say, Eagleman aside to the car of people, and this little old lady next to us kind of smiles. And I look over at Joe and Brian, and they're trying not to die of laughter. Like, they couldn't, I just see their faces are strained, trying not to express what they're feeling. And we get off the car, and they're like, everybody in that car thinks you two are fucking. But basically, we had the quintessential senpai kohai moment where senpai opened the doors, noticed her, and saved her to get on the train that only comes every 30 minutes. And oh then God. She cried.
That's awesome.
So I think that was our favorite anime moment story.
Brilliant. I truly, as with the others, just like anime. And... regrettably, just like anime, we might have to bring this episode to an end.
Yes, I think that's a good place to end.
Thank you so much for the comprehensive view of Japan. I already wanted to go, and I want to go even more. I want to eat the food. I want to play with the animals. I want to go on the transit. I want to intimidate some large otaku with my cleavage.
Oh, no. Well, luckily, that's another no-no in Japan. No cleavage. I wore scarves the whole trip, but...
I see.
I didn't necessarily wear, you know, triple X baggy t-shirts either, so...
My implied cleavage.
Implied bosom.
Yes. awesome. But yeah, I think, guys, any more questions for Carol before we adjourn? I think that this episode was awesome.
Yeah. I think I'm good.
Hopefully your viewers won't mind my, like, hour and a half of rambling.
they tough through our hour and a half of rambling every week.
Right,
so,
exactly. anything's better than that, so.
yeah. We ramble, what can I say? But, cool. Well, Carol, either in your human or Kikiyama capacity, any final plugs or things you want to mention apart from we know for sure that we could... Well, why don't you remind the listeners one last time where they can see you?
Yes. Listeners, you can see me at MizuCon Saturday with the 3000 Brigade Saturday evening, our biggest and best show. It's sure to delight, sure to make laugh. Perhaps make you cry, but no guarantees on that. And you'll definitely want to check it out. If you want to see us before MizuCon, please check us out on YouTube/3000Brigade. All of our past shows are on there, as well as Facebook/3000Brigade and 3000Brigade.com. If you're interested in seeing more from me, particularly, you can find me on Facebook/ Kikiyama Cosplay, KIKIAMA, and you can email me kikiyamacosplay@gmail.com, as well as, I think Kikiyama is what I use on every social media platform, and it's such a random made up word that if you Google search KIKIAMA, you will find me. So that's it for me. I'll see you guys on the interwebs.
Yes.
Thanks, Carol. You're amazing.
Yes, and we will see you there, too.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Carol.
Anytime.
Took a lot of notes.
Yes. All right, guys. It was awesome having Kikiyama on again, also known as Carol. And I think we should probably look into getting our tickets together for Japan immediately.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
But good news, listeners. No booking is required to travel with the Nerd Extravaganza podcast. You can walk right up to the gate, hop on the flight with us every week by subscribing to us on iTunes or checking us out on a streaming service we like to call Stitcher.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, add us to your Google Plus circle, and join the Nerd Extravaganza HQ group on Facebook.
fire up the ROM in your computer and head on over to nerdstravaganza.com to check out this and all of our back episodes. Sushi roll on over to YouTube, type in nerdstravaganza into the handy dandy search bar and check out all of our videos. And take a break from the hentai and shoot us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
Those were good. Those were really good. And with all that said, Senpai, take us out.
Great Scott, Marty's on. This is fabulous ramen.
Marty's on. I don't know if you'd call him Marty's on or like Marty Chan or Kung. I mean, because it docked the superior in the relationship.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was awesome.
Marty Son is the protagonist. I'm going with the flow.
Sure. Great Scottu.